Now, this hot swapping thing, I've discovered that yes, we have cameras this year, so people are watching us as well, but they get to watch a little nice montage while we're switching guests
And
here.
hot swapping is changing guests. I just
Yes,
wanted to be clear
exactly.
on that.
I want to make sure of that. So
Yes, okay.
just to orient people who are actually watching as well as listening, we now have in the space, in the studio, we have John Zimmerman. And John is the editor of Airfax Digital Magazine. It is online. He's also the vice president of the catalog division at Sporty's Pilot Shop, which is a really cool job in Batavia, Ohio. And, you know, he likes to fly anything. He's a helicopter pilot. We were talking about how he got up here because it wasn't helicopter weather this year. But John, the reason we have you here today is because Airfax is such a cool digital zine. I read it all the time. In fact, now my Google feed picks it up, which is a great way to read it, I have to tell you. Thank you for coming to EAA Radio today.
Thanks for having me. Wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you came back after you gave me that helicopter lesson a few years
ago.
If
anybody who's passed a helicopter check ride knows that you lose a lot of fear in that process. So, Rob, you can't scare me.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You have, in the last year, started the Richard Collins Aviation Writing Contest, and it's specifically geared for young writers. And one of the things I always love about Airfax is most of the people who are sending stuff in are not professional writers.
Right. It's really what makes Airfax special. The majority of the articles there are written by readers who are regular pilots. Many of them inexperienced pilots. It's great. Sometimes we'll get an email from somebody who said, "Well, I'm just a private pilot," or "I fly just a 172." And said, "Well, that doesn't matter. You have a story to tell just like anybody else." So we love that part of it. But when Richard Collins passed away, we really thought a great way to honor him would be to have this prize because, as you know, Amy, he did so much to encourage so many writers over the decades to join not just aviation, but the writing world. And you look back, you read past issues of Airfax from the 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, legendary names, Bob Buck and, Richard Bach and all these names that...
Amy Labota,
right? I mean, and I'm sure from your experience, the dozens of journalists he inspired. So we just seemed like a fitting way to honor Richard's, memory and legacy by encouraging the next generation of writers.
So let's talk a little bit about how that process went, because I was involved in that process a little bit.
Amy was one of our esteemed panel of judges, and we thought we'd get a response. I think we were really pleasantly surprised. We had over 100 entries of young pilots who wrote articles, and many of them were really excellent. Most of them were excellent. And so I'm sure it was maybe a taller stack than you planned on, Amy, but it was some great reading.
Are you kidding?
What were the age requirements, essentially, for
so
the
younger
entries?
Than 24, I believe, is our cutoff.
Did they have to be pilots?
They did, although we did have a couple that they were student pilots, or their experience they wrote about was as a passenger, and they since went on. So, we try not to be really strict and stringent on it. It's something that has an aviation story that matters and could inspire somebody or has a lesson. And we got some really wonderful entries, so...
Yeah, they were special. But the reason I wanted John to come on and talk is, and this goes back to what you're trying to do. So tell them about the 21st Century Writers Group.
We formed a group of which a number of editors and writers are on, the 21st Century Aerospace Writers. I had this crazy idea that as some of us are getting older, where are replacements going to come from? Besides you being one of the guys, you're young enough to do that. And it's amazing. We're all just kind of working, thinking, somebody's going to have to deal with that someday, but I don't have time, I've got deadlines, I've got photos to get in, whatever. And we're really facing a situation where some of the magazines are getting people, their bodies, but they're not necessarily the best. And so how do we get the word out there that there's a need for new blood in the journalism side of aviation? So but it sounds like you've got some great talent there at Airfax.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we've been passionate about at Sporties too for years is that the aviation world is so broad and varied, and I think maybe lost in some of the talk now about the airline pilot shortage and hiring and all that, is that aviation is a really broad, vibrant, interesting industry, and there's more than just flying airplanes. I mean, I love that part of it. It's great. But we all know there's so much more to it than that. There is the maintenance side of it, the design and engineering side, the journalism part of it. And I'd like to get that story out a little bit more about aviation as a community, as an industry. And yes, being a professional pilot is one rewarding part of that, but it's only one part of it. So maybe there's a part of the broader conversation about, you know, the boom in pilot training and pilot hiring that we can get the story out, that there's more than just that to it.
So have you had any of the people that, because I don't get to read all the stories, but I mean, have you had anybody saying, gee, I'm just writing about being an air traffic controller because I've always wanted to do that, or I mean, that are not traditionally pilot focused, like I'm going to be an airline pilot?
Yeah, definitely. We've had some of that. One of them was somewhat traditional, but a different path I enjoyed was a gentleman who was a professional drone pilot and had never been in a, you know, manned airplane. And about halfway through his career as a drone pilot, decided, actually, I might want to try this myself, and became a pilot and is really into it. I think has now bought a Baron or something. it just, you know, every story is different. Everybody has a different access point and a different motivation, but I think it shows that there's maybe more ways into this industry and more places to go than the average person understands. I know I just recently did a talk with some high school juniors, and I don't think they had any appreciation for all the different options that are out there. And this could be a really rewarding part of it, so.
Well, and we need to get to not just the high school juniors, but we need to get to the middle school mm-hmm. seventh graders and even the elementary school third graders and the guidance counselors. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, how do we do that? Where do we start?
I know there's an organization out there for people that are trying to get jobs. FAPA, it's called, and mm-hmm. I can't remember. It's
Future
changed.
Future Aviation Professionals of
That's
America.
The old name. Now it
is
has
it
some
different?
Other name.
Okay.
But Lewis has said the greatest move he made in trying to get the word out about, of course, they're just looking for airline pilots, but was to make contact with a group of counselors. There's a national group of high school counselors, and he said it changed our life. So I'm going to find out from him who that is and how we might make contact with them too.
Yeah, that would be really good, because you know the story is that FAPA is where I got two jobs way back in 1987, and one of them was a first officer at ASA on a Bonerani, which and the other one was associate editor at Flying Magazine.
Wow.
And I had to pick.
Wow.
And I'm very happy with what I picked.
Yeah.
Don't misunderstand me. But
well,
that
you
was
can still
a turning
hear,
point.
So you must have picked the one at Flying.
Oh, yeah, well.
I mean, because
that didn't guarantee I was going to still hear at my age.
Yeah,
but it turned out okay, because we started using headsets in about 1986. I remember.
And wow.
I still have the same headset. David Clark has redone it for $100, but it's still got a dynamic mic.
Oh,
God
wow.
bless him.
Oh,
that's
I've
vintage.
Got one of
you
those.
Could park down on the south end of the field with that headset.
I totally could. You can't kill it, man.
But you know, we forget that there were days. I mean, when I used to instruct years ago, that we didn't wear any headsets.
Sure.
In fact, we thought it was cool in a 150. You just open the window and you could wave to the people as you went over, and the wind is coming. But of course, now half of us can't hear anything. But we didn't know that then.
No, we didn't know that. I've
but
been riding like
smarter
that
now.
Since 1966.
Not, right. So wear a headset. It's important.
You can look back in the Sporties history and see when we first started selling headsets, the Pacific Plantronics little star set like they had for the Apollo program. People thought it was a joke. People thought, why would I wear a headset? That's ridiculous. So we're a little more enlightened now, I guess.
Yes.
A little, very enlightened, in fact. So, you know, Airfax, Sporties has a huge catalog of websites. One of them is Study Buddy. I love Study Buddy.
Yep.
Airfax, where can people read it? Because it's not something that comes out in print.
Right. So airfaxjournal.com is where you can check it out. I also encourage people at Sporty's, we have a Saturday morning newsletter called our Fast Five.
And
every week we highlight five interesting stories from our Student Pilot News website, our Airfax website, our YouTube channel. Educational content, not, you know, hot special necessarily. But it's a great way to kind of stay connected with a lot of those articles and videos we do, and so check that out as well on the Sporty's website.
That's fabulous. And here at EAA Air Venture 2019, you're in the Sporty's tent. Where is that?
Big tent right outside of Hangar B. So walk to Hangar B, and just before you get there, look on the right side for the Sporty's flags, and we'd love to see everybody.
Oh, yeah. You've got some really neat stuff in there. But if they want to ask you about this contest for next year, do we have any dates yet or anything?
We are going to open up in the fall. We don't have exact dates, but we're going to open up again in the fall. And Amy, if you'll be back, we'd love to have you as a judge.
Oh, yeah. I would do this again. And I promise not to panic this time.
Okay.
There was just a moment that they were wonderful, but he was very old-fashioned about it. He printed them all out, and he had a great rubric and everything. But this huge box came with this, like, manuscripts worth of stuff. So it was a moment. And then I got over it, and it all worked out beautifully. We're really excited about what you're doing in the outreach. So thank you so much, John Zimmerman, editor from Airfax eZine, for coming on EAA Radio and being our guest here at AirVenture.
I could help. I mean, so that it helps.
Yeah, there
careful
you go.
What you volunteer
that,
for.
Yeah,
we'll hire
volunteer.
You.
I mean, could I? So I could have.
That'll be good.
John,
right.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.